Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Chris.
All right, so lots of excitement today. We've had to do some technology shuffling around beforehand, but it looks like we're all ready to go and should be sounding pretty good this week, so we'll find out soon, I guess. But all right, first I figure we start off like normal. We'll do news. We'll talk about what we've been up to this past week. And then after the break, we kind of a weird segment, just talking about sort of what's going on in Standard right now and sort of some weird happenings right now. You'll see when we get there. But all right, what have you guys been doing this week? Playing some Magic?
I've been popping up through a couple of just 1v1 queues, playing either Infect or Ad Nauseam. And I've also been going through my collection, finding out what of Eldrazi I do have while it's still legal.
Yeah, there you go. What about you, Chris? You play any this week?
Not a lot. I started collecting pieces for the Bant Coco list for Standard.
Oh, nice.
Figure I might play a little bit of Standard before it rotates out.
And the clock's ticking. How about you, Alex? I know you had a bad deal with a... Was that a PPTQ you tried to play in?
Yeah, there's a PPTQ here on Sunday, but the weather was pretty bad. So, like, I messaged them saying, hey, are you going to be open? They're like, yeah, and I got there and they weren't. But,
yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. There's another one in, like, 2 weeks that I'll hit up. So, and then I just played Moto instead, so there's that.
Yeah, the consolation prize of Moto. I mean, at least it's always there. It's always firing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
quality.
That's for me. I haven't played any since the last time we talked. Not Regionals was the last time I played. Looking to get out some this week, though, because I'm trying out a blue-white control list in Modern. That's something that is always near and dear to my heart, so I'm ready to try it now with this new Eldrazi meta that we have built up, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, let's get into this news, though, because we have some pretty sweet items. Just today, fresh off the press, they did release the announcement for Eternal Masters. Will be this summer, right, is when it's coming out?
Absolutely. It's supposed to come out this June.
Yeah, so the announcement was basically just the release date this June, and then we did get two spoilers already, which were Force of Will and Wasteland, which, I mean, good on them for coming out of the gate with some heavy hitters. I think everybody's excited about those reprints. Those are some serious money cards. So, yeah, we're looking good there. How you guys feeling about it so far?
So I'm excited about it. As far as, you know, Wizards hasn't given up on Legacy. As far as Star City cares, obviously they have, but Wizards hasn't. They're trying to push it a little harder. It's still sad to see that the reserve list still exists, and this would have been probably the fine set to just kind of cut the reserve list and put the duels as mythics. I would have been fine with that. But mostly, all in all, excited. It should be a fun draft. Definitely draftable. I can't wait to try that.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it earlier. I think we're all on board for at least one go at this, and we only know two cards out of it so far. But, I mean, just knowing, like, Modern Masters has always been a pretty cool draft environment. So Eternal Masters now, we've got a huge card pool. Who knows what they're going to be filling this thing up with. So it should be pretty goofy, at least, if not tons of fun, you know? But, yeah, I mean, that's – to me, it's kind of this weird spot where – Wizards, like, they haven't shown any love to Legacy in a long time, and now they come out with this, so I'm wanting to know, like, is this, like, a consolation prize for Legacy players? Like, we'll at least do this, or is this the beginning of a bigger push?
I think it's a spark, because here recently they've talked about, we're not trying to kill Legacy,
yeah.
And, you know, they've released a couple statements of that nature. So this is to show the community, hey, we're really not here to kill it. We're going to give you these cards. Keep playing the format. It's there for you. So I think this is a good step in the right direction to for Wizards of the Coast to step back and go, we want the format to exist. So yeah. I give them credit. This was a good step.
Yeah, Eternal Masters, it puts in kind of a cool spot because it's specifically not naming it Legacy Masters or anything with Legacy in it opens the door to really they can reprint anything in this set, right? I mean, like, it's not tied to Legacy. I'm curious to see if they're going to keep doing Modern Masters still, because I don't know if both of these products need to exist side by side, really. And then it also kind of puts them in a spot where, like, they had the issue with Splinter Twin. They print it in Modern Masters, then ban it in Modern. If it had been printed in Eternal Masters, it wouldn't have been quite as feel bad, so... You know, it kind of gives them access to Commander stuff that Commander players want. Pretty much, I mean, anything, really, they could reprint in this set.
And the nice thing about Legacy is that it's not really known for getting hit with too many bans back-to-back. It's right. Not really a thing. They've been going through more of a cycle of unbans. Granted, Dig just got banned, but they've been going through slowly, just kind of picking and pulling cards off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, so my point, I guess, is just that this is a much more flexible product than modern Masters, so I'm excited about that aspect of it, too.
I'm excited about some new art. Like, that Force of Will art looks sick.
Yeah, Force of Will, like, oh, man, the original printing of that has got to be one of the ugliest cards I've ever seen. I know some people love it, but I hate that printing so much. And then, like, I mean, the Judge promo is sick, but, yeah, come on, who's going to go out and shell out for Judge promos? Like, yeah, new artwork is going to be awesome. I'm excited to see what some of the commons and uncommons are. Chris, I know you said you want to see some elves, some new art for elves.
I want to see some, or elf staples, you know, the things we haven't seen reprints of, the Quirion Ranger, Wirewood Symbiote, something else for me to look forward to.
Some of them are real old and goofy looking at this point. Yeah. So yeah, some fresh, nice black border versions without all the goofy old art will be sweet. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few things that I'd like to see pop up in this that I'm curious. New art is always welcome, especially for me where I don't like foils, so that cuts out like half of the promo versions and things like that that come out. So yeah, new art's going to be sweet. I'm dying to see what this is going to do to prices. I'm very curious to see, like, if anyone's getting into Legacy right now and they're not sure how to prioritize buying things, pick up things on the reserve list right now for sure, because I wouldn't be surprised if we see land start to creep up in price. Probably not huge amounts just because there's not a lot of movement in Legacy cards, but they got to go up some, right?
Right now is a good time to buy in because the format's just kind of died down. Prices of cards have dropped a little bit.
Yeah, not a lot of demand, but it's going to be increasing, definitely.
Well, I don't know if it's going to affect all the prices that much because people might want this new art more and might prioritize these, and it's going to be a limited run. So these might be just as valuable. It might not even lower prices.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, the price all around is going to be crazy. Yeah, mostly looking at reserve list, I would expect those to at least go up a little bit just based off of new demand for Legacy decks. But yeah, as far as the cards go, I mean, we're kind of in uncharted territory as to what these could do. I mean, we've seen, like, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of. Well, let's talk about some of the rarity that we've seen so far, because Wasteland is being printed at rare, whereas Force of Will is being printed at Mythic. And this is going to be a big deal for prices because, I mean, we've seen, like, Goyf is a great example that was reprinted as Mythic two times now in Modern Masters, and his price went down some, but it didn't really budge a whole lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same thing with Force of Will.
I think that's what their end goal is. They don't want to affect Force's price too much because you still want to maintain the value of these cards. You don't want a $50 Force of Will. I don't think that should exist.
Well, and then for the limited environment, too, I think Force being a rare, being a little bit more common would be pretty bad for the draft environment, for the limited environment in general. But yeah, I mean, that's it. As far as prices go, though, yeah, I wouldn't expect Force of Will. And like Alex was saying with the new art, I mean, there's a lot of people dying for a new art on Force of Will. I wouldn't be shocked if Force of Will stays pretty much the same price and this one getting the same price or even slightly higher than the older version. I mean, that's not far-fetched at all. Wasteland at rare should be pretty good. That could see a pretty decent price hit.
Well, and Wasteland, it was weird. At one point, there was enough of them that when Rob tried to trade his in, they were only offering $25, and his Wastelands were beautiful. And then since then, we've had two more printings. Well, this will be the second printing since then. So Wasteland should be pretty affordable if you're on a Delver-type Legacy deck for you to grab a hold of.
The only caveat to that would be that the last printing before this one was the Expeditions, and those don't have a huge effect on price. I mean, there's not a ton of them out in the wild, and it's kind of this weird premium product, so I don't know what that's done to price. But yeah, Wasteland, I think, has been, I don't know, I wonder what the price. Alex, are you near your computer? Can you check what Wasteland's price is? One of you guys?
Yeah, I'll look it up in a bit.
Yeah, so because I would be curious to see, like, what, I want to say that it's been going down over the last few years. So it's already kind of on the decline, and then I think a printing at rare is going to do a pretty good number, too. Mm-hmm. I think Wastelands will be pretty affordable once this comes out.
Especially if you're going to get into one of the Delver variants where you're going to run three or four of them. You know, it might be a good time to get ready to pick up some Wastelands.
Yeah, definitely hold off on those. Let the new set print, see what the damage is. If you're looking to move Wastelands, you might want to get out from under them now. But Legacy cards, I mean, that's kind of the nice thing about Legacy is, like, prices really are pretty slow to move, and whatever adjustments we see based off of this set are going to be pretty minimal at first.
Right now it's still holding median at, like, 64 with the market price on TCG at, like, 57. There's a lightly played one at, like, 47, so it's around that price range.
Yeah, I swear I want to say, what, like a year or two ago, they were like 80 to 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've already seen it come down quite a bit, and now this printing. And I don't think that price that you're looking at now should be too affected. This was just announced this morning, so I wouldn't imagine that it's adjusted to that yet. So we'll probably see another $10-$15 shaved off of it pretty easily. So that's what's up.
Actually,
yeah.
The Expedition Wastelands are like $200, so...
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's not surprising. Like, I mean, those things are pretty sweet looking. People love them. Jerry loves them. I know that.
Oh, I do. Can't wait to get my own.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's cool to see, though. I mean, I think the biggest story, though, here is what's the rest of the set going to look like, and what is the effect going to be on Legacy? Because Legacy has been taking a beating the last, you know, what, year or so now, few years now. Numbers have been dwindling down, so it's going to be cool to see it kind of revamped. And if nothing else, we're going to probably get a pretty sweet limited environment out of it. All right, so let's go on down this news some more. So what is the? I'm going to let you take the lead on this, Alex, because I am not up to date on this. What's the PT Gauntlet on MTGO?
Okay, so the PT Gauntlet came out at the Pro Tour, obviously, that's what the PT is. But Wizards has made a tournament now, where you pay their 6 event tickets or 60 play points, however you want to enter, and you get a randomly selected deck out of 16 decks from the Pro Tour. You get a few minutes with it to look it over. You can change things out of the sideboard into the main, things like that, move things around. And then when you're ready, you hit submit, and then you play 3 rounds of Swiss. It's not a single elimination. You get 3 games with the deck as a way to kind of like, it's a modern format you have to buy into, so it's a way for players to test out the deck, see if they like it, and see if they want to get into modern.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a great idea for MTGO. Like, I mean, a product or a promotion like this fits so well on MTGO that it's kind of crazy that it took this long to really.
Well, the people wanted this. It. People wanted, you know, proxy to be able to proxy a deck or, you know, rent a deck on Modo and things like that to do this kind of thing, test it out before they invest money in it.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it's so safe and so easy to do on MTGO that, yeah, it makes perfect sense. And now, this is a really cool program. I'll have to pop on and mess around with this some because, yeah, pretty awesome. I mean, right now, this may not have been the perfect time for it just because the recent Pro Tour, I guess not a lot of diversity would be one way to say it.
They went back and of all the decks they put up 7-3 or better. So oh, okay, there is nice. A large variety of deck lists that are awesome. Available. One of the best things about this I like is that if you go 2-1 in every tournament, you just go infinite. So you get your if you're doing at least somewhat decently, you get your event tickets back or your fun bucks. So it turned out to be a pretty good idea. What I don't care for is that it's randomized. I can understand why, because everyone will be like, "Ooh, I want to play this Eldrazi deck. Let's all pick that." I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, there are other decks out there. And I do really wish that it could be a little bit more selection. Maybe, you know, you could choose like 4 decks you would like to play and they would randomize between those.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It makes sense from a marketing and from a sales point too. This way people are going to keep joining back in to try out new decks and it keeps it fresh for them. So, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty cool though. I'm glad to see them push something like new and exciting on MTGO. I mean, they've done it with some of the draft environments and some of the flashback drafts and stuff recently too. So, the program has always been notoriously bad, but this is something they can control as implementing these new like ways to play Magic that are harder to pull off in paper. So good on them for sort of playing to the strengths of it. This is definitely something that I'm curious to pop in on try. And Alex, you may have said this a second ago, but is this just modern or is it for whatever the most recent Pro Tour is?
I don't know. Is this the first one? So it may be the most recent Pro Tour. Maybe they'll do like a... Because, you know, Randy Buehler does the Vintage Super League and all that. Maybe they'll do, like, a Vintage Super League one or something. Like, the possibilities here are pretty open.
Yeah, a Vintage one would be insane. I could kind of see him staying away from Standard. I wouldn't be too surprised to see that just because they want people to go out and buy the new product. But at the same time, it still seems like it would be great for Standard 2, Legacy. Man, yeah, this would be a blast for pretty much any format. No, this
yeah,
is
I'm
really
hoping
cool.
They stick with it moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, like... I don't know what this holds for the future for MTGO. There's definitely some cool things you can do with this. I like that they're experimenting sort of in a new design space in a way with this. And yeah, I mean, cool to see innovation on this product. Cool to see something fresh and new. And I mean, this is probably the first thing in a long time that I've heard about on MTGO where I'm like, yeah, I'm like tomorrow, I think I might check this out.
Well, does it open up the door that in the future, maybe not anytime soon, if you want to play an event, you can legit rent a deck? Because that's just like an unlimited supply. Hey, I don't know if I want to keep this. I'm going to rent it a couple times. And if I like it, you know, I pay an extra $5 or $10 to rent it.
Well, there's a company doing that in paper now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw
that. You can rent like standard for the weekend or whatever for, you know, go to open stuff. So I definitely think it's viable for Modo where they just automatically get their back. Like, you can't steal them. Like,
right, exactly.
You just write that computer program to get them back. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird to see, because I don't think, I'm sure if it were easy to do, a third party would have already done this before. So it seems like something Wizards themselves is going to have to do, just because they can control the account better and they can just deactivate the cards essentially when your time's up with them. But yeah, I mean, like, I play a little bit here and there on MTGO, but if I could go on and fill out a 75 that I wanted and paid some fee to have it for tournament, yeah, $5-$10 to have it for a tournament in addition to entry fee, I'd be cool with that. Yeah. There's been a few times where I find myself free when they have a big tournament on a Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that, but I just, you know, I don't have the cards right now, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this every weekend or every week or whatever, so not worth investing in it right now. But, man, that would be really sweet. No, I'm glad to see them doing something fresh.
Yeah, it really opens the door to some possibilities that I'm glad Wizards of the Coast is pursuing this or seeking this.
Yeah, definitely.
To see the response from the community.
Okay, I left that pause there purposely because I'm going to pause and edit this out real quick. I didn't figure out how to see the computer. It's behind me, so I can't see what time we're at. So I'm going to check on that real quick.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, we're at 17, but it took a while to start up.
Like I said, this will be the long segment today, so.
Yeah, it's fine. I just kind of wanted to get a general idea of where we're at. So we're at 17, okay. But then again, like, I let it run for about a minute or two before we fired off. So we should be able to get through all these news items just fine.
Yeah, all right, yeah, all right, for sure.
Bring us back in here. Great. All right. Not yet, obviously, because now Chris is doing a countdown for me. I could just start whenever.
Oh, nice.
All right. All right, but yeah, so, I mean, overall, it's a pretty sweet product. I'm excited to check it out. But let's keep moving on down this list here. Yeah, here's a sad piece of news. Rest in peace to Christopher Rush. I mean, the guy illustrated countless cards. I love his Path to Exile.
I did a little bit of research and found some cards that he had done. As you mentioned, Path to Exile.
Yeah.
Lightning Bolt. He is the original Lightning Bolt artist.
Yeah.
Black Lotus.
Ooh, yeah. Holy cow.
Black Lotus was a big one. The Cold Snap Ice Age block Brainstorm, the one where the guy's got the lightning fizzling out of his head.
The Wolverine-looking guy.
Yep. Chronotog.
Yeah.
For those of you who are familiar with that. Demystify, one white mana, destroy target enchantment. He did a Stone Rain artwork, and he did the artwork for a commander favorite for some of the older commander players, Aaron the Relentless. And he did a Pokemon card too that turned out to be really popular. He did a promo Mewtwo.
Oh wow, nice! That's crazy. I had no idea he did Pokemon cards too.
So that's kind of a little bit on his highlight reel there. It's sad to see him go. This guy's been a name in Magic since the beginning.
Someone did a little GIF of the Black Lotus. It blooms and then the petals blow away in the wind, and then it says, "Rest in peace, Christopher Rush. You won't be forgotten." And it was a really good gift. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh man, that's messed up. But then you look what it's really there for. Like,
yeah,
it's an awesome little animation.
That's a nice little tribute. I mean, that's one thing that I love about the Magic community, man. Is like, I mean, when things like this happen, it's horrible. It's sad to see. But on Reddit and all the different forums online, you see tons of love for the guy. Tons of people kind of celebrating his work and stuff. And that's cool. Like, I love seeing that kind of stuff. So. Unfortunately, he's gone, but, you know, rest in peace to Christopher Rush. Awesome artist. Left a huge imprint on the Magic game. I mean, we see his art constantly. So, all right. On to something that is, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on Duel Decks, so maybe this is lighter news. But they did announce the new Duel Deck, Blessed and Cursed. That's exciting, I guess, but the biggest thing is we got some new spoilers out of it. But before we get into this, last week we talked about... They discontinued the Duel Decks, right?
They discontinued Duel Decks.
This is the last one? Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yep. So there we go. Yeah, the very final dual deck.
And I think it's because they ran out of ideas, because Blessed and Cursed is very reminiscent to Angels and Demons. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, come
this
on, guys.
Evidence piece number one is lame name for this dual deck. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, but no. So we've got some pretty cool spoilers coming out of this set. Yeah, Delirium and Zombies are going to be a big push in this set. I always like to see what the mechanics are pushing the dual decks, or what the ideas pushing the dual decks are, because, yeah, that's usually a pretty good indicator of what we are expecting to see in the set. So we're getting a pretty good taste out of it. Alex, you want to talk about some of these spoilers we got here?
All right. My actual favorite is Toppelgeist. It's not even like that, you know, crazy of a card. It's just... It's interesting.
The name's
so it's
hilarious.
One white, yeah, it's one white for a 1/1 flyer, so good cost on that.
Yeah, okay.
When it enters the battlefield, tap target creature and opponent controls. Then it has Delirium, which is the mechanic where if you have four cards of different type in your graveyard, then at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if you have Delirium, tap target creature they control.
Nice.
So it's this interesting thing where this and another card that got spoiled in this both have it, where they have entered the battlefield effect and then a Delirium check on your opponent's upkeep. So it's like multiple things happening with that.
Nice. Yeah, I can dig it. So it's kind of like when you hit that Delirium state, then yeah, you've got this reoccurring effect. And reoccurring, was that during your upkeep or your opponent's upkeep when you tap
each game? Opponent, so it counts for commander too.
Ooh, well, there they get that, I guess. But yeah, so I mean, that's pretty sweet. So yeah, at the beginning of their turn, essentially you're tapping down one of their dudes. Not very nice. That's a pretty sweet reoccurring effect to have.
Yeah, so it makes them good early or late. Like, it's a one-drop, one-one flyer that could push some damage and later on starts tapping things down and playing a control role, which is really interesting.
Yeah, no, I dig it. Anything that starts good and ends good, I'm always a big fan of. But yeah, no, I mean, the Delirium mechanic, like, I'm excited to see what they put on cards. And is this the first one that we've seen that has an ongoing Delirium effect?
There's three in this spoil. So we'll get into the next one here, which is Tooth Collector. Which is just a sweet name.
Another great name, yeah.
Yeah. So it's two generic and a black for a 3/2 human rogue. And then it has, when it enters the battlefield, target creature under opponent controls gets -1/-1. And then Delirium, at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, target creature gets -1/-1.
That's awesome. Love it.
That's going to be a super... Yep. It's going to be all right in a constructed. I think that's like the best limited card that we've seen so far out of black. That effect could be very good.
What's the rarity on that card?
It's
uncommon.
Uncommon, yeah.
Both in Toppelgeist were uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, those are both pretty sweet draft cards. I could see that. Man, stack a few of those, tapping their guys down, killing some small dudes off. That's pretty awesome.
And
And then the one that has, like, a ongoing Delirium as a drawback is Mindrak Demon, which is two generic, two black, for a 4/5 flying trampler. So, Siege Rhino in the air, just at the end of the battlefield effect. But when it enters the battlefield, you put the top four cards of your... library into your graveyard, and then it has Delirium. At the beginning of the upkeep, you lose 4 life unless you have 4 types.
Oh, wow. Okay, so once you get Delirium, it stops, and until then, gotcha. Yeah. Now, that's pretty, like, I really like the use of Delirium so far, because these are some pretty crazy abilities, and they're kind of all over the board, too, so, nah, I'm a big fan of this so far. I feel like the mechanics that we've been getting recently have been, like, I don't want to say lazy because I don't want it to come off that insulting, but they've just been kind of stale. Like, I haven't really been that excited about mechanics. They'll be announced, and then we'll see the stuff that's on them, and we're like, you know, this is okay, I guess. But they all kind of feel like copies of older effects or rehashes. But this is the first one that I've seen in a while that feels super fresh. Like, and just the things they're doing with it so far are really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm excited about the rare that was spoiled, Eerie Interlude.
I like this one too.
Yep, it's just it's a functional reprint of Ghostway, and for people who aren't familiar with it, it's exile any number of target creatures you control, return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So it isn't quite the immediate power of Ghostway, but the fact that we can now have up to 8 copies of Ghostway in our modern deck, because what happened in the pod was people were kind of didn't know where to go with it. Some people went the Ghostway route. Clearly, there's a push in that direction for this deck.
What's the CMC on that card?
It is a 3 mana cost, same as Ghostway. It is a rare speed.
Speed, nice. And it's at the beginning of your controller's next end step?
Yes.
Is it any target creatures?
Return Exile any number of target creatures you control.
Okay.
Return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So it's even better than Ghost Way because you can dodge sweepers this way for your non-persist creatures.
Damn, nah, nice. You can reset persist. Yeah, you can dodge sweepers. Nah, that's a pretty sweet. And I mean, like, especially in Modern, we have so many enter the battlefield triggers and effects that's awesome. Lots of shenanigans there. Nah, I like cards like this where, like, the card itself essentially does nothing, really. I mean, unless if it's against a sweeper or against something trying to kill them, but combined with other things, like, possibilities are endless, really.
The card has to be played with cards that you're intending to make it work. It does nothing build in around. Certain decks. Yeah. You have to build around it.
Yeah, maybe we can get a little Astro Slide version, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I never really got to play with Astral Slide, so I never really got to mess around with that. Was that a standard deck or a modern deck?
It was a standard deck. It was also played a little bit in old extended. Astral Slide is a enchantment, white and two generic. Whenever a player cycles a card, you may exile target creature. If you do, return that creature to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So it's you know, the new Ghostway spell is just a very big Astral Slide, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, not reoccurring, but a lot easier to activate. Not quite as build around. So yeah, I mean, there's like tons of enter the battlefield effects in Modern. Tons of good value there. I mean, between Snapcasters and all kinds of stuff, you could do all kinds of crazy stuff. So yeah, so it'd definitely be cool to see what people do with that. What about we missed some mechanics last week? I know when we were talking about this, we'll say that they weren't released.
Oh man, you're skipping over a card I wanted to talk about.
Oh wait, all right, we'll take it away. What you got?
Yeah, I want to talk about this compelling deterrence, because it just seems like value to me. So it's instant speed, one to blue, so it's blue, so you like it, Bobby. It's return target non-land permanent to your two owner's hand. Then that player discards a card if you control a zombie.
Okay.
So it's an unsummon for one more that might have a discard if you have a zombie. But you can also use it on yourself to, you know, protect one of your creatures. And even if you have a zombie, you don't mind discarding a card with, like, Delirium and Madness in the set, so... It could go offense or defense. I like it.
So it's a sweet modified recoil. That sounds really good. I like it.
Yeah, it's got some weird interactions with it for sure. Because, I mean, yeah, definitely the value city is when your opponent has no cards in hand. So, yeah, bounce it to their hand and they pitch it. Awesome.
Yep.
No, that's what's up. I can dig it. You see that was a blue and one?
Yep, and it's non-land permanent. So you can get enchantments and get things back and do all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of problem cards. I can dig it. Nice. Yep. But, all right, so now, with that nonsense out of the way, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, let's talk about some of these mechanics, though, because we missed some last week, and they look pretty sweet. First, we got Skulk, which is creature cannot be blocked by creatures with a greater power.
It's just sticking a name on an ability that already existed.
True,
Homunculus had it back in Limited for 8th and 9th edition, somewhere around that time frame. A couple other creatures have had it. It's just nice to be able to put names to things now. We've been doing it for years.
It seems like now if something reoccurs quite a bit, they've been going back and like, hey, we can just make this a mechanic now. So, yeah, I mean, like Jerry said, there's tons of cards that have already had this on it, but the fact that we're seeing it as a printed named mechanic now, we'll probably see a pretty good deal amount of this in the set. And, I mean, with these low-lying Delirium creatures that have all these cool effects, this could be pretty sweet, sneak in damage under creatures.
I mean, the Delirium mechanic almost seems like in a sort of a Super Friends-ish type thing. When you start having all these Delirium creatures on the field, all their effects start to get you incremental advantages every single time every one of them happens. So we could see there is the effect and the power is there for a Delirium deck that might exist. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Skulk, like, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, it's nothing super flashy. It's not blowing anybody's hat off, but cool. We got an official name for it, so that's what's up. And then the other one, I was wrong. It was only the one mechanic, and then Jerry pointed out Devil Tokens, right, in this set?
Yeah, whenever a Devil Token dies, they're all 1/1s. They deal 1 damage to target. I'm not mistaken, it's target player. Let me look that up real quick. Like, could be also target creature.
Squares way on that. See who can be targeted.
It's target creature or player.
Target creature or player? Fantastic. Nice. So these are fantastic tokens. It's rare that we have tokens with triggers like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like it. Have we ever had devil tokens?
It's just
Mog
Fanatics instead of goblins.
That's true. Have we ever had devil tokens before?
No, we haven't.
I was going to say, I don't think anything's ever made a devil before, right? So that's pretty awesome. I mean, it fits into the whole Innistrad theme pretty nicely. Looks like it's going to be pretty spooky.
It's going to be the goblins. Like, instead of, you know, there's no Hordling Outburst here. It's, you know, whatever make devils is. But they are more costly. That's to be pointed out. Like, that cost more to make two than, you know, dragon fodder or something, but they have the extra damage to the face aspect, so.
Yeah, we'll see, because, I mean, with low-lying, small, cheap creatures like this, it's kind of a shame to tag some extra cost on them, because that's going to make it a little harder for aggro to play them, but we'll see. I mean, plus, obviously, we don't have all the cards yet, so there might be something that, like, a creature that churns these guys out like crazy, which could be pretty insane.
I would like to
like
see...
A Devil Master?
Yeah, Devil Master.
I would like to see a Tybalt Planeswalker that churns these guys out at 3 mana. Come on, we need a good Tybalt. We need a good one.
I could kind of get behind that. A Tybalt churning these things out would be pretty sweet.
It would be. I mean, for the red players out there. Sorry, Bobby, it's not for you.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I still want them to have nice toys. I need red to have really good creatures so that way we can get 4 mana sweepers back. So this is the long-term plan for me. It's fine. Make them as overpowered as you want. I mean, these things would punish a sweeper pretty hard. Bunch of damage coming to your face. That's not great. Yeah, so, I mean, overall, though, I mean, everything I've seen from this new set so far, I dig it. I dig the theme. I wish it were coming out in October, but, you know, whatever, I guess. It'll be a spooky early spring.
Flavor miss.
Yeah, you know, a bit of a fail there, but it's fine. It'll be a cool set. I'm sure we'll have some drafts of it going on later in October. I know people love to do, like, Innistrad drafts then, so now we've got a more recent set we can do it with. That'll be cool. But, no, I mean, everything I've seen so far in it, a lot of interesting mechanics, a lot of interesting cards. I mean, nothing that's, like, blowing my mind, and I kind of like it that way. You know what I mean? I feel like the last few sets we've had, like, here's this card, and this card. We've got three that look insane. Everything else is very, it's fine.
Like, right? Outside of the one sideboard hoser that was revealed, everything's just nice.
Yeah, it's nothing just there. Ridiculous. It is what it is. But, yeah, Innistrad, everything, yeah, looks good. I like it so far. Looks like it's going to be kind of a cool limited environment, so I'm excited for that, too. Any other thoughts on this before we move away from this? We're kind of coming up on time here.
Like a chance to correct myself on Fiery Temper. Its madness is one, not zero. But even at one,
right.
Even at one, it is super powerful.
Never doubt me, Jerry.
It was a player back in its old day in Standard, and it'll be a player in this Standard as well.
Nice. All right. Any more corrections? Things we messed up, guys. This will be a new reoccurring end of segment one.
Man, if I have to go back and listen to everything Chris has said, it might take a while.
Then we'll have a whole episode for that. Next time we don't have anything ready, that's what we'll go to. That'll be our audible. But all right, cool. So we'll wrap this segment up then, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk about the lost levels of Standard. All right, welcome back, everybody, for the second segment of the Snapcast today. We will be talking about Standard, the lost levels. And really what we're getting at here is just that the Standard environment right now, I mean, due to the new rotation schedule and everything, this is going to be like the least supported segment of Standard. I guess that's the proper way to say this. I mean, we haven't seen tons of events. We don't have tons of events on the horizon. I mean, we're through a good chunk of them already, and then we're going to be seeing rotation happen soon and everything get all mixed up again. So this is really kind of like the ignored stepchild Standard going on right now. And I mean, everything going on in Modern too has really outshone it. So we just wanted to touch on it a little bit. I mean, have you guys been keeping up with Standard much lately?
Yeah, I have. I started picking up, going to FNMs again, just kind of playing, go and see what other people are playing. And the new Oath set just hasn't done anything to really change the Standard environment. We're still in Siege Rhino of Tarkir. I mean, you can still play, you know, I'm trying to play Red Green Ramp, and most of the cards from that are from Battle Block, from Battle for Zendikar. And it's just pretty much two blocks going head-to-head with very little mix in between.
Which is true, but like that's also something I was worried about with the two-block format, you know, the two-set blocks. It's just going to be, like, I feel like rotation. It might just be Eldrazi versus Innistrad, you know. And that was something I feared for this Standard for a while.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in uncharted territory here with the two rotations a year, and we don't really know how this is going to affect it. But yeah, I mean, it's like, one, with the cards that are coming down the pipeline, like you just said, Alex, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe back to the rock, paper, scissors kind of style of format where we have three decks that are all kind of battling out at the top, Eldrazi obviously being a big one, something coming up from this new Innistrad set. But yeah, I mean, like, right now, Standard just... I think we see it at all the shops, and we've been talking about it for a while now, where Standard just really, like, it's not really as exciting as it used to be, right? I mean, is it just me feeling this?
Well, like, there's a lot going on in Standard right now. There's plenty of archetypes. There's control decks again. There, you know, there's aggro, there's midrange. But, like, people are so burnt on just, like, Siege Rhino and the same thing. They're ready for this rotation. And there just wasn't the tournament support either right now.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, in this area, we haven't seen nearly as many PPTQs, and IQs are pretty much just gone. Have you seen IQs out there, Alex?
There's one at the end of the month, and it's modern here.
Yeah, now here there've just been no IQs. You have to go to Richmond or further up into DC for IQs. And we have two PPTQs here in the next 2 months.
Which, I mean, for listeners who don't live in our area, like, flashback a year or two ago, Alex and I, Chris and I, we were all going to IQs, like, it felt like almost every weekend, right? Yeah. I mean, it was I remember there being more than I was willing to play. And that was when we were really at our probably peak grinding. And I mean, PPTQs, that was like right before PPTQs were announced. Now PPTQs are out. We thought, okay, this will just replace IQs, but even that, we haven't seen nearly as many as we used to.
Yeah. No, we have two coming up.
I mean, we would skip IQs for opens.
Yeah.
Go up to opens, you know, and not get burnt out before.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it looks like we're in this weird spot because IQs and PPTQs fill a really nice niche spot in between where it's more competitive than an FNM. There's a little bit more on the line, but it's not driving out. It's not traveling for an open or for a GP. It's not quite that big, you know, two-day event. So it was a really nice sweet spot where you're guaranteed some good competition. You're guaranteed to see, you know, what was going on in the meta, people who are adjusting in real time, essentially. And I think that that's kind of what's burned me out of Standard a lot lately is that my choices seem to be FNM or open. I mean, there's not really anything in between that. So FNMs get dull after a while. You can only do that for so long. And then, I mean, like, game day just passed. I know, Jerry, you went and checked out game day, but game day's always kind of been like FNM plus.
It's game day with FNM cut the top eight. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not too much excitement there. But, I mean, yeah. So we've already had, what, two GPs with this Standard environment?
Oh, no, there's only two GPs. Like, one happened, Oakland already happened, and Houston is later this month, and that's the only Grand Prix for the Standard.
Gotcha. So one's down, one to go, and then that's it for Standard. I mean, it's sort of what we're seeing with more support for Modern coming down the pipeline. It's inevitable that it had to push, you know, other formats around a little bit, so I don't know if that's a big factor or if, I mean, I don't know. But what about Opens? We've had three total for the Standard, two already and one to go.
Yep. We had Hotlanta and Columbus already. Hotlanta was the first one. Columbus was a couple weeks ago, and Indy is next month, and that's it for Opens. All the Opens in between are Modern and Legacy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's cool seeing other formats supported, but it's weird to see a reduction in support for Standard. Also, in a time period now with these rotations, Standard is going to be shaking up more often. You would think you would have the opposite effect, where we'd have more Standard events, more things going on for Standard before rotation, whereas that's just not the case.
I mean, it's also really weird, too, because this RPTQ cycle is Standard, but, like, because there haven't been much tournaments, like, the meta's not shaken out right now. Like, yeah, if I was going to go to an RPTQ, which is, like, next weekend, I don't know what I would play. Like, I don't know what I would expect to play against.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I used to, like, before we switched this to rotation schedule, I liked how you sort of had the new and exciting Standard for a little while. Okay, that was nice. Everybody's shaking it up. Some new decks pop up. Some fall out of favor. Then you would go through like a PPTQ or an IQ kind of schedule where you would see lists that were getting updated week by week. You could kind of feel out what the meta was. And then, like we were saying, then you could go to a bigger event and have a pretty good read on the meta and feel confident about it. And like you could settle into a Standard deck pretty good. Whereas now, like, I mean, change is pretty constant. Like you said, we don't really have a good opportunity to watch this change happen, really. I mean, yeah, if I were going to go to an RPTQ, I don't know what I would be playing. I mean, do you see this being a long-term problem for Standard? I mean, what do you think this is a bad thing, just, I guess?
I think it can be a bad thing, especially for, like, interest, because people are focused on Modern. And that was part of it, too, is just the Modern bannings and Eldrazi shaking up. Things there that people looked more towards that, but like it just seems so weird that like I'm used to watching, you know, if I don't play a tournament on the weekend, I watched an open or something like that to see what's going on. And, like, there was just nothing this last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, because when we just had regionals, so there was nothing going on during regionals, and then regionals was modern, so we didn't really get anything out of that. And then with the Pro Tour being modern, yeah, I mean, it really does. I really think, I guess, the big narrative here is just that Standard's not seeing the support or the coverage that we're used to, and it's during a particularly weird time. I mean, I guess we have rotation coming up, so people are sick of Siege Rhinos. People are sick of these sort of lingering power cards that have been hanging around the format for a while now. So I can kind of understand that. And, I mean, maybe this will be great. Maybe what will happen is rotation will occur, and then they'll, you know, we'll see a peak support in Standard, and it'll be great again. You know what I mean? Maybe this is what everybody needed, was sort of a lull time in Standard before we have a big boom.
Well, and I think finance is some variance into that. I mean, we went into the holiday season. We've come out of it, but you still had Jace's going up to anywhere from $65 or higher. It's finally starting to come down.
It's going back up because it matters.
Yeah. And now it's going to shoot back
sound up. The alarms, yeah.
And it's just like I think that's a huge thing, is you used to get into Standard for, you know, $200-$300 and you were playing a competitive deck, and now you're looking at just fetch lands for your deck are wavering in between $17 to $25 again, and you might have to play two different fetch lands on top of it, where the last time I remember seeing a land around $20 was Mutavault. And that's because it was played in every deck.
Yeah.
Every deck played this card. And
well, that's the other weird thing right now, is the decks are very expensive right now. It's a very expensive Standard. It's one of the most expensive it's been in a while. And once again, you have this expensive Standard deck that you're not playing.
Or you're not playing, and maybe you're not having fun.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're just waiting turn four, Rhino, ooh.
Yeah, most of Standard is extremely predictable, and that doesn't help for interest. What also doesn't help is Thought Not Seer being a card. Even without Eldrazi lands, it's going to be the premier four-drop in the format. So we're still going to be a four-drop Standard, and Thought Not Seer being colorless, any deck can probably try to figure out how to put it in there, and it's going to be like, well, which Thought Not Seer deck is the best one?
Thought Not Seer in
I don't know about that. I don't know if it's as good in Standard. Like, I've played against it several times online now with Black-White Control, and every time they cast it, it's just like, cool, my hand is like a threat in like three removal spells. Like, I don't care. Like, you take a removal spell, I kill it, and I draw a card. And it actually helps me get ahead if I'm missing land drops and stuff, too.
I do see, though, a problem with mid-range, and I mean, it's what Wizards, and we've harked on it a bunch, so I'm not going to go too deep on it, but Wizards has pushed that they want to see this mid-range environment. They want to see abilities tied to creatures. Obviously, we can see that in printing. We've seen it like crazy the last few sets. And yeah, at some point, with accessibility to all of these colors and with all these good mid-range creatures, all of the decks sort of start to look alike, and the gameplay all kind of ends up being the same. I mean, without a really instant-based control deck or a burn-heavy deck or a solid... there is a solid aggro, so I don't want to say that, but it just seems like there's not the variety that we're used to seeing in a Standard environment.
But I mean, even aggro is hurting quite a bit right now. When I mean, you can put big fatties in at a reasonable cost that are taking cards out of your hand.
Yeah.
On top of it, you know, it just hurts the archetypes, I would say. I mean, you realistically have to be mid range or longer if you want to be super competitive right now.
Yeah. Or just a different flavor of mid range.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. So, all right, going down the list here, though, I want to talk about this. I'm going to mess the pronunciation of this. Here we go. Eldrazanati.
Yep, nailed it.
Nailed it. So for anyone who's not looking at this on paper, it's Eldrazi mixed with Illuminati. Yeah, we've got some serious conspiracy theories there about to pop off here. What was the origin of this, Alex? Did this come from that Channel Fireball article?
It came out around that time in Reddit. There's a couple Reddit articles about it. It was just a combination of the internet.
Yeah. So walk us through this. What are we seeing? What's going on in the deep web?
I mean, it's just a lot of theories kind of smashed together about the Eldrazi takeover in Modern, you know, to sell the newest packs at the same time that Standard's not being supported with like these lesser tournaments and things, and then just all coming together. You know, Eldrazi wins the Pro Tour on its first outing and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where, like, when you start to see too many coincidences happening at the same time, you start to think, like, was this all grand design at some level? Because, yeah, I mean, it is, and it, we kind of talked about it a little bit right after the Eldrazi deck dominated the Pro Tour, like, it is curious that, like, right now you can go crack packs for modern staples at a pretty, you know, at the reasonable normal pack price, which is pretty crazy. We don't get to see that very often. I mean, we're seeing more and more standard cards go directly into modern. Modern is starting to reflect standard more and more as each set comes out. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad route for Wizards. I mean, you see that modern's entirely, like, it's hugely supported. So what do? You ban the biggest deck that's floating around right now that a lot of people are lumped in on, not buying new cards. You print a bunch of hot new cards that are going to dominate the format that everybody wants to go out and get now. Yeah, you know, it's not insanely far-fetched.
And I'll even go deeper. I think something, I really hope this is where they're going with this, with them pushing modern so hard and kind of leaning away from standard. They just get rid of standard altogether and they pull a Pokemon where the modern is now the new standard. I mean, come on. That would be sweet. I would play more FNMs so much if I could just play modern. Like, that would be enough to sell most of the people. I mean, modern's the most played, most favorite format right now. Why would that actually be a real good business move? I think it would be. I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, with Oath of the Gatewatch spilling out all these super powerful Eldrazi, it's not too far-fetched to at least think, hey, maybe they are going in this direction with it. Maybe standard is about to go away in a few years. You know, I would hope to see that. That's really deep, but yo, I'm digging that.
Now, you know what? I mean, it's got my mind running, that's for sure, because it is kind of an interesting idea where, like, and then, oh man, Jerry, are you going to really start convincing me of this? Because then the first thing my mind goes to is, okay, so now let's say we're doing like a hybrid standard modern. Right? We're merging the two formats. You ban some decks that have been hanging around for a while, so you shake it up sort of like a pseudo-rotation, but at the same time, like, you're not constantly buying new cards, but if there's a hot new deck, you want to go out and buy packs. Okay, cool. So we see product sales there. But then you're like, well, then you'd probably want another format, right, to balance that out, so you still have two formats. What would it be? Well, it would be going back to Legacy, and they just happened to announce Eternal Masters today, which showed more support for Legacy. So
ultimate conspiracy. I got it, guys.
So, yeah, so, I mean, it's not crazy.
And also, don't forget the symbol of the Illuminati is, you know, the pyramid with the eye, and Eldrazi has Eye of Ugin.
And Thought Not Seer's got an eye right in the middle of its big circular head.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, man, I have to be the voice of reason for a minute and just say, listeners, like, we're going off the deep end here on this one. Who knows? But, you know, sometimes to find new things out, you got to mess around a little bit. So I do think that it was intentional on Wizards' part to sell more Eldrazi packs to have them have a big effect in Modern. Whether or not the twin ban is tied to that is hard to say, but I think most people were surprised by the twin ban. I think that the usual signs that we look for when a card is about to be banned were not there with twin. It did feel like they jumped the gun a little bit, so I mean, I don't think we've never had a banning that knocked out two decks, with Amulet Bloom and Twin being the ones I'm talking about here. We've never had a banning of that level. That was a pretty significant banning. So for it to happen to be followed up by Eldrazi taking over the format is interesting, I guess, at least. It's suspect a bit. So, I mean, it's not insanely far-fetched.
I mean, you can just look at the numbers there, like, you know, Splinter Twin was hanging around 13%. Summer Bloom was somewhere around 5%. So that's like 18% of the meta, right, that just don't have a deck anymore. And now if you go online, Eldrazi is like 40% of the meta. So let's just say it was a new deck and it was popular and it would take up, you know, 20% of the meta. Well, it looks like they picked up 20% of the meta somewhere. Oh, Twin and Bloom, huh?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I mean, and they've got to be. I mean, I would love to see sales figures and numbers for this set to see what this effect has had. But I was looking at, like, just to really support this whole Eldrazi, and I think most people are convinced, but I was looking at Decklist a few days ago, and the regionals that we went to in North Carolina, there was one Eldrazi deck in the top 8, and it won the whole thing, right? The next day, in the same city, they had a Super IQ, and there were 5 or 6, I think it was 5 copies of Eldrazi in the top 8. One day difference. I mean, that's completely insane. Like, And when we were there for regionals, talk was kind of spreading and everything, so it was pretty fresh off the press. Most people didn't have time. But one more day was all it took to have all of these more copies. And it was like 5 Eldrazi, 2 Affinity, and then like a Miser's Burn deck managed to slip into. But it almost looked like the Pro Tour Top 8, which is insane.
So as of today,
oh no,
last 2 weeks, meta breakdown, Eldrazi, 27%.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Next highest is Affinity at 13%.
Everything else at less than one.
So what's the next highest?
And that's
creature toolbox.
Like I said, that's counting
7%.
In like paper tournaments and stuff. Like if you look at just Moto, it's like 40% of leagues and dailies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what's the low man on the totem pole? Like what's
not getting banned?
Yeah, what is not getting banned? Yeah.
Boggles.
Yeah.
I'm probably pretty safe on Blue Eye Control. Yeah, taking turns is safe.
I mean, who would ever think you'd see Valakut is the right now by the meta is the premier control deck, which is probably
that's not a control deck. That's what I play. It's a turn 4 combo deck.
Yeah, it's grouped
that's
into control.
That's what we got.
But it still has the Valakut deck actually runs prime time in it too. So
yeah,
it's combo. It's,
wombo combo.
Yeah, wombo combo.
Yeah, man.
And they're back to running Prismatic Omen, so we can scape shift just 6 lanes and call it a day.
So what worries me about this is we're seeing a lot of changes, and a lot of these seem like they may have been influenced by Wizards. I'm a little bit unhappy with Standard right now, and I'm becoming more and more unhappy with Modern right now. Where's the green pasture, right? Like, where are we going now?
Don't you mean the blue pasture?
Yes, Eternal Masters.
Yeah, exactly. Our Lord and Savior Legacy has returned. And we left it, we shunned it, we put it out for dead, and look, now it's all we have left. Nah, but I mean, like, it really is kind of this weird time, and I stumbled across an article that someone had shared on Reddit. I think it was from MTG Goldfish. They've had some pretty cool articles lately, but I may be wrong on this. But essentially, one of the concepts that they touched on was like, what to do if you want to play Modern right now? And it was like, one, don't play Modern because of the fear of financial investment. The other was like, play whatever you have. And then the third was invest in a very solid tier 3 deck and just get very good with it. I was like, that's actually not, like, I kind of laughed at first, haha, whatever. But I'm like, that's not a horrible idea. Right
well,
now.
Yeah, because I know the article.
I mean, the tiers have changed, too. So, like, tier 3 decks are like former tier 2 because tier 1 right now is just Eldrazi and Affinity.
I don't even know, like, I would almost say Affinity's like tier 1.5 and just say Eldrazi's the only tier 1 deck.
Affinity can be Eldrazi if they get nut draw. Like, but that one is very die roll. Who won the die roll, they're going to win the match.
But you know what I mean? Like, even in these top 8s, we're seeing like 6 Eldrazi, 2 Affinity. So, I mean, putting them up together, it's a good matchup between the two decks, but versus the rest of the meta, I think is where Eldrazi gets the leg up, and I think it's worth putting it in its own category, right? I mean,
if you really want to think about it, Eldrazi should have a really good matchup against Affinity because Chalice for 0, there's your game plan. That's the end of the game.
Well, that's like Alex is saying. It comes down to a die roll. It comes down to drawing, one of your 4 Chalice. I mean, the matchup itself is interesting, and obviously it can put up some fights, but I think we keep seeing Eldrazi winning, right? I don't think I've seen Eldrazi get the first place.
Eldrazi pushes a little bit harder. It does.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I think it's enough to say Eldrazi's our only tier 1 modern deck right now, which is an insane sentence.
Affinity is adapting.
Yeah.
Like, Affinity is adapting because they've gone back to Master of Ethereum. Because Master of Ethereum can come down early and be just as big as like a Thought Not Seer or Reality Smasher, and they don't need
it's usually bigger.
The pro color Etched Champion anymore because Eldrazi's colorless. So they've shifted to be better against it.
Yeah, so I mean, we're going to see changes. We'll see changes in the whole meta. But like I said, I would call Eldrazi tier 1, Affinity tier 1.5, and then I guess everything else tier 2 at least, if not lower. What is happening?
Everything
like,
that was tier 2 is now 3, and former tier 1 is
Soul
two,
Sisters is like a tier 7 deck now. Like, times are hard. Boggles, tier 10. Man, it's rough. Lots of
rough
shake-ups.
Rough life for Chris.
Yeah.
Twins good, way down there. You
good thing
lose
I have
immediately.
Oh, wait. I haven't seen Burn do awesome.
Like I said,
while.
There was the Miser's Burn that popped up at that IQ, so there's a one
back
in there.
Back in the segment one, that rare the rare Ghostway spoiler. Yo, Soul Sisters can play that. That's Ghostly Sisters? Come on.
So there we go. So just everybody invest into Soul Sisters or Boggles or Ad Nauseam.
You got it.
And just get really good with them.
Just saying, Ad Nauseam took first at two different regionals.
They get really good with. They just play.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, you can't get good at Soul Sisters. Your line of play is, do I play Soul's Attendant or Soul Warden? Like,
yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot of lines there. What are you going to do? You get paths for some of the Eldrazi if they don't have the chalice, I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, man. From Vorthros, like, I forgot the other word, but just from flavors, what I'm looking for. Such an easy one to forget. But from a flavor perspective, Eldrazi, they came and they dominated. I mean, there you go. I guess that's the one takeaway.
They traveled through the multiverse and tore up the planes.
Good job. You ruined everything. Yeah. Good job, Eldrazi.
I need a real Gideon here.
Hey, guys,
good job ruining all the formats. Now it's popping up in Legacy, so give it some time. Yeah. It's going to dominate Legacy.
Guys were wasted.
Probably will dominate Legacy because Legacy is not equipped to kill big creatures.
Absolutely
like
not.
Or Abrupt Decay. That's it.
So have you guys started working on a Vintage Eldrazi deck yet? Or
Vintage Eldrazi will never exist because Shops is just better.
All right. It was a joke. Calm down.
Ha, gotcha. Thank you, Mishra's Workshop. You're the voice of reason right now.
There we go. However, everybody to Vintage.
I have seen Legacy Eldrazi lists running Workshop because they can, like, Lodestone Golems and other crap that they can just run to. Yeah.
The title of this episode is Deep Sigh. Like, I mean, yeah. It really, like, I think it's showing, though, that Wizards is just going to have to get to work. They've got a lot of cleaning up to do. Like you said, we need the Oath of the Gate people to come in, get this Eldrazi Madness under wraps, shoo it on out the door. I think, like, when did this set come out? It was January? February? It was end of January, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I'm so sick of Eldrazi already, and yeah, it's been not even a month yet.
February 15th. It's been like 2, maybe 3 weeks.
What in the world?
Yeah, like I said, the original Rise of Eldrazi was the set that made me take a break from Magic. Like, I stopped for like 3 years.
It feels like just yesterday we were sitting around laughing about the Can't Even card. And it's like, ha ha, look at this goofy Eldrazi. And then now, like, yeah, now we can't even. None of us can.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Hey, at least it can stop Thought Not Seer.
That's true. It beats other Eldrazi. Awesome. That's coming
down by Thought Not Seer somehow.
Somehow, some way, in weird world we live in.
Oh, you know what? Just put it in Legacy, Sneak Attacker, Show and Tell. There you go. Done.
Reasonable. Awesome. I like it.
The world's just on fire. That's all.
It is.
This is the episode where I just knock my mic off the table and end the recording. That. Like, it just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else we can really say on this topic just because we've talked about it so much, but that shows what's going on is, like, every time I go onto Reddit, every time I browse Magic websites, it's Eldrazi, Eldrazi, Eldrazi. Here's Eldrazi in Legacy. Here's Eldrazi in Modern. And what can you play to beat the Eldrazi in Modern and Legacy? What can you play? Like, I'm just done, right? Like, what else can we do with these guys? And it's hard because, I mean, we talked about bannings last time, and in private off the cast, we've been talking about bannings a lot lately, just trying to figure out what they do with this. But, like, they need to get Modern under wrap. It's not healthy to have this large percentage of the format dominated by Eldrazi. And it's going to be crazy to see what happens to Standard once we have rotation hit and you have a bunch of Eldrazi and then some other cards.
What happens to what?
Standard.
What is
that? Because Seedrano and Fetches are going away. So, like,
Chris is just attempting a bad joke, that's all.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm ignoring it. We're going to go back to, like, mono-colored decks because we're going to lose the tri-lanes and the fetches here at rotation. So, like, it's just going to be mono-green Eldrazi versus the world.
Yeah, like mono-green Eldrazi versus mono-red Eldrazi versus blue-red Eldrazi. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Maybe
one Innistrad Madness deck can kind of do cheap things with Madness, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
This standard rotation does put me at a weird spot, though, because I think it's the first time where I'm very excited to see cards leave, but I'm also very apprehensive about what's going to happen once those cards leave. So Right. Lots of uncertainty. Jace is going to be $1 million, and it's going to be him versus... Maybe there'll be a sweet Jace Eldrazi deck that'll come out.
Oh, no. Blue-green Eldrazi ramp playing Jace. Woosh.
Yeah, here game. We go.
Life's over.
There is X, and it's the they're in part of the Water Veil and the Temporal Trespass to try to take a bunch of turns in Standard. Like,
yeah.
Turns out if you get extra turns with like an Ulamog in play, you can't lose.
Yeah. There you go. There's a winning combo for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I mean, at this point, it's a waiting game, but, I mean, we're coming up on time on this, and I think we're as far down the rabbit hole as you can get. Do you guys have any happy thoughts before we close this segment out?
Happy thoughts? Vintage is a sweet format. I mean, if you can afford them, if you can afford it, man. Vintage is balanced right now. I'm just saying, man.
There's even a better format that doesn't have Eldrazi and is affordable, and it's called Popper.
Popper's sweet too. Right. I put together
I
put together Popper Burn and took it to the shop, and so many people had a blast playing against me with it, and they were like, "What is this Popper format? Oh my!" I'm like, "Oh, it's normally a $5 format, barring this deck, which is $120."
I mean, they're about $30 now because people have started actually playing Popper. Yeah, I play Popper Affinity, and it's great.
It's very affordable. It only has 9 cards on its ban list, which is like the biggest upside. Like, your cards just don't get banned.
Wait a minute, though. Let it get a little more popular.
There's no common Eldrazi that can be played here, so I think we're fine.
That way, there is one, it does see play. Ulamog's Crusher does see play in Tron.
True, it does see play in Tron. Yeah. But
Tron's not even that good. It gets beat by Delver, so it's good life. Good living right now in Popper.
So there we go.
And
so,
they just banned the oppressive deck in, you know, banning Cloud of Fairies. So
our next user or next listener contest will be come up with great Popper related podcast names that we can move to. Nothing crazy yet.
That's our happy trees. That's our Bob Ross format is Popper.
That's our Bob Ross.
Whenever we get the Eldrazi Blues, we'll go to Popper.
There you go. All right, so we'll go ahead and wrap up this segment. That's going to do it for this week. No crazy announcements. You guys have anything else non-Eldrazi related before we get out of this thing?
I'm excited for Shadows.
I'm excited for Shadows.
I'm going to hop back into Standard.
There'll be probably no Eldrazi in the draft environment, that's for sure. unless if the Shadow is Emrakul. That's still my
gamble.
It
better not be. All I'm going to say is it better not be. I don't think it's going to be, but...
Yo, if it is, I think they kill Magic doing that. Like, I think they kill Standard Magic.
It would literally destroy everything.
Like, I don't think you can come back from that power creep. Like, it's just too much at that point.
Emrakul with Devoid 60.
What? Okay.
Peter Popper, Pecta Pekka, Pickle Peppers.
He's devoid of numbers. But all right, we're wrapping this thing up. That'll do it for us this week. Everybody, thanks for listening. You know, check out the page, check out the website. I think I might mess around and try to get some videos. I shouldn't make a promise, but I might try to mess around and get some videos of this, the PT or the Pro Tour Gauntlet. I'm definitely itching to try that out, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get some of that going up. But all
I
right,
actually, just had I put up a league with Black White Control. Just went up, so that's up
nice.
There too.
Nice, very cool. So check that out. Check out the videos. Check out the podcast, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Oh snap.